Hello, I'm Angela, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 19th of November 2025.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have me, Angela, Liz, Matthew, Mina, Simon, and of course, not forgetting Soundings contributor Lindsay. In this week's edition, we have all the latest from Beacon with Matthew, from information about the region's ring and ride to some updates flushed with pride, quite literally, we have all the latest news from the Black Country. You'll have to be sharp of mind as we have another challenging I Spy brain teaser from Soundings contributor Lindsay. With temperatures beginning to drop, we hear from Mina, who has the forecast for the week ahead. There may have been no domestic football last weekend, but there were still plenty of sporting events to report on. We have the latest from the Black Country. And with thanks to Guide Dogs and St Albans and District Talking News, we introduce Episode 2 of Puppy Academy, a monthly series following Charlotte the trainer as she begins the journey with her latest puppy recruit, Buster. Local news to start with, though, with me, Angela and Liz.
Measures to improve the West Midlands Ring and Ride service have been backed and described as a long time coming. Members of the West Midlands Combined Authorities, WMCA, Transport Delivery Overview and Scrutiny Committee, were presented with a raft of changes to be implemented to the service. A Ring and Ride Task and Finish Group was set up to look at identifying and tackling issues and ensuring it is more financially viable in the future. And a report to the committee set out a number of measures aimed at providing a more simplified service model and improve fairness, efficiency, and within a balanced budget. Earlier this year, increases to ring and ride fares were agreed by WMCA board, with Walsall council leader saying the cost of each trip amounting to £26 per head was not acceptable. Among the latest measures put forward are changing current ring and ride boundaries and adopting a distance cap of 4 miles. Another change would include deploying a mixed size fleet, specifically using a smaller 8-seater, while also trialling other smaller vehicles. Reducing the booking window from 7 days to 3 days on a trial basis to see the impact on cancellation rates and passenger no-shows was also put forward. They will also adopt a maximum of 14 trips per customer, 7 return trips, as well as exploring a trial of grouped trips to test take-up. Wolverhampton councillor and committee member Carol Hyatt backed the measures and said she was particularly pleased with the trial of grouped bookings, which she said she had been suggesting for years. She said, "This has been a long time coming and is very much needed. This report absolutely reflects residents' needs and how we can best meet the needs of our most vulnerable residents. In my ward, there are learning disabled adults who cannot use the ring and ride service unless somebody books it for them. Having a tutor that can book it for them guarantees bums on seats for ring and ride, guarantees income, and it guarantees better quality of life for those residents who need it. I am so pleased it's there and so pleased to see a report which so well reflects the needs of our residents.
And City of Wolverhampton Council is teaming up with Keep Britain Tidy for Fight Fly Tipping Fortnight, which aims to highlight the problem of rogue waste carriers. The campaign has been created to help local residents protect themselves and their communities from this growing area of waste crime. Fight Fly Tipping Fortnight aims to shine a spotlight on white van operators who attract people with cheap deals only to illegally dump household waste on streets, fields and public spaces. The council is supporting the campaign by sharing regular information posts on its social media channels. Residents are being asked to follow these steps to avoid a hashtag rubbish deal. Ask for a waste carrier registration number. Check it on the Environment Agency's public register or call 0300 065 3000. Please select the upper tier option. By entering Wolverhampton into the address box, you can also view the complete register. Check, you'll get a receipt. Councillor Mupinder Gakal, Cabinet Member for Resident Services at City of Wolverhampton Council, said, "Fly tipping has a real impact and is a deep source of frustration. Our teams work tirelessly to tackle the problem, but we also need our community's help to stop it at the source. We're asking people to check who they pay to take rubbish away. If a deal looks too good to be true, it probably is. And sadly, it's our residents and communities who ultimately pay the price." Dr. Anna Scott, Director of Services at Keep Britain Tidy, said, "Councils are on the front line of the fight against fly tipping, responding day in, day out to clear dumped waste and keep our public spaces safe and clean. We know how much pressure this puts on already stretched local teams, and we're incredibly grateful to City of Wolverhampton Council for joining forces with us for Fight Fly Tipping Fortnight. This campaign is about empowering residents to play their part in tackling this growing issue. By making simple checks before handing over waste and always getting a receipt, people can protect themselves from rogue traders, stop organised criminal networks in their tracks, and help ensure public money is spent where it's needed most." Fight Fly Tipping Fortnight will run from the 10th to the 23rd of November 2025, with local authorities across the country joining forces with Keep Britain Tidy to highlight the scale and impact of fly tipping, educate residents on how to protect themselves and their communities. Fly tipping costs councils across England millions of pounds every year in clean-up costs, draining money that could otherwise be spent on essential local services. To report fly tipping incidents in Wolverhampton, go to fly-tipping-shop-a-tipper on the council website.
Up next, we have the Beacon update.
Beacon, in association with Talking Therapist Plus, self-care and mental health drop-in event. Thursday the 20th of November, 2:30 to 6 p.m. Take charge of your mental health and mental well-being. Drop in and meet a variety of organisations offering free confidential advice and support for your mental health and mental well-being. You'll be able to speak with a range of providers who help with challenges such as anxiety, stress and depression. Join our drop-in event. Remember, your mental health matters. Don't hesitate to reach out and seek the support you deserve. Mental health support, anxiety, depression, PTSD, relationship issues, domestic violence, phobias, substance misuse or addiction abuse, physical health and activities, Charles Bonnet syndrome support, breath and meditation workshops, sight loss advice and support, menopause advice and support. Event details, Thursday the 20th of November, 2:30 to 6 p.m. at the Beacon Centre for the Blind, Wolverhampton Road East, Sedgley WV4 6AZ. Book now at www.buytickets.at/BeaconCentreForTheBlind/1920595.
Thanks for that update. Next up, we have another block of local news.
A food bank working to help people in need across the Black Country has received a substantial funding boost. Black Country Food Bank has welcomed a £12,000 contribution from the Tipton and Coseley Building Society, ahead of one of its busiest times of the year. Members of the Society presented its donation during a visit to the food bank's Briley Hill warehouse. The Tipton has been supporting Black Country Food Bank since 2023, pledging annual donations and providing teams of volunteers to help sort, check and label food items. In total, the Society has given £36,000 over 3 years and introduced food collection points into each of its four branches. Black Country Food Bank was founded in 2006 with a mission to feed local people in crisis, enabling them to access food and other essentials while they get back on their feet. Based in Briley Hill, it has 28 distribution centres across Dudley, Sandwell and Warsaw. Jen Coleman, Chief Executive at Black Country Food Bank, said, "Financial donations are crucial to us. They mean we can replenish supplies, keep our vehicles running, heat and light our premises and look after our volunteers. Receiving regular payments such as those kindly provided by the Tipton also helps us budget and plan for the future. This is particularly important as we approach winter, which brings its own set of challenges like higher energy bills. Many individuals and families struggle to afford even basic necessities, placing considerable demand on our food banks and resources." Adam Everts, the Tipton's chief executive, said, "Black Country Food Bank is a lifeline for those who find themselves in a position where they can't buy the food they need every week. We are proud to support the incredible work the food bank does, and we know is a cause our colleagues and customers care about too. We also value the opportunity to spend time volunteering with the charity, learning more about their services and seeing for ourselves how donations make a difference."
And a Wolverhampton community group and food bank have been celebrating after being awarded the UK's highest honour for voluntary service. Secret Angels Food Bank, Wolverhampton, have received the King's Award for voluntary service. Secret Angels, WLVCIC, has received the King's Award for Voluntary Service, KAVS, in recognition of its outstanding work supporting vulnerable individuals and families across the city. The accolade, often described as the MBE for voluntary groups, celebrates the impact and dedication of volunteers who have made an exceptional difference in their communities and was created in 2002 to celebrate the late Queen Elizabeth II's Golden Jubilee and continues under King Charles III to honour outstanding contributions by volunteer groups across the UK. Founded by Alvina Ali, Secret Angels WLVCIC provides essential services such as a community food bank, cost of living support, digital inclusion sessions and well-being support, with the organisation seen by many as a vital lifeline for residents facing hardship, particularly during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. Secret Angels operates from Park Village Education Centre on Cannock Road in Wolverhampton and runs weekly projects including the Secret Angels Food Bank, Plugged In, Digital Skills for Everyone, Java Joy and Befriending Support for residents who are isolated or struggling with day-to-day challenges. Alvina Ali, director of Secret Angels, said, "We are truly humbled and honoured to be recognised for the King's Award for Voluntary Service. This achievement belongs to our incredible volunteers, our Secret Angels, whose compassion, dedication and teamwork continue to make a real difference in people's lives every single day. It's wonderful to see their efforts celebrated at this level. It inspires us to continue serving the people of Wolverhampton and reminds us that even the smallest act of kindness can create lasting change." A formal presentation of the award, crystal and certificate by the Lord Lieutenant of the West Midlands will take place later in the year on behalf of the King, while members of Secret Angels will be invited to attend a Royal Garden Party at Buckingham Palace in 2026. Carmen Watson, Deputy Lieutenant for the West Midlands, said, "Having visited Secret Angels last year, I was deeply impressed by the extraordinary commitment of their volunteers. This is no ordinary food bank, as the Angels take the time to understand the unique challenges facing local residents, offering not just food, but practical support in areas like computer literacy and money management. Their compassion extends to those affected by life-threatening illness, with substantial funds raised each year for Macmillan. Secret Angels truly embodies the spirit of community and voluntary service.
The Festival Community Hub will be holding their Christmas craft fair event at the Beacon Centre, Beacon Court Restaurant, this Friday the 22nd of November, between 6pm and 9pm, with craft stalls, hot food, drinks, plus plenty of festive entertainment. We thought we'd get into the swing of things with a craft fair I Spy brain teaser challenge. This week, TNF Soundings contributor Lindsay challenges you to find out how many craft names you can count in this conversation. Full answers will be listed and detailed later in the edition. To note, for further information about this Friday's craft fair at Beacon, please contact the Festive Community Hub on 07842 639 287.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Clean Sweet Brain Teaser at the Craft Fair. Welcome to Lindsay's Ear Spy activity for yourself or with others. Listen carefully to this one-sided imaginary telephone conversation and find out how many craft names you can recognise along the way. I know it's cold outside, Brady, but someone must have felt working in such an overheated barn was a good idea. Poor stall holders. Sweat's fair beading on my brow even after 10 minutes. Now, must hurry up, find the cleaner's cupboard. Oh, I got the keys from Bobbin Lace, the caretaker, in the end. Forgot to ask exact location. Still, perks the job is snooping about. Hello, hello. Found the suggestion box instead. Listen to this. Someone agrees with me. Country show site did warrant free parking. However, there were several cars weaving in amongst the smaller buildings, apparently lost trying to find the main car park. Luckily, I have attended other events and knew the best route. More parking assistance required. P.S. Heating set unnecessarily high. Mayor Good Gains. Opened the whole thing yesterday. I heard they cut a ribbon like it was some dedication instead of a local fair. Expensive purple silk ribbon abandoned on the floor. Shameful. As indeed this person thought about the organisation. Opened doors late. Was keen to find the decoupage stall promised from French company. No sign of a preformed cardboard elephant, let alone other materials. Hoping they turn up tomorrow on my return. Might consider amending leaflet in future if no shows at show. Jewellerie. Okay, that's confusing to start with, especially as it's billed as a fair. No. Just hire for Saturday and Sunday. Something about the usual cleaner being needed to demonstrate their wood carving or something? Dems are held outside in the small marquee, rear paddock, where there is water access. Well, I thought sufficiently signed Brady, but found the demonstration tent eventually. Was not helped by area looking closed to the public. Might make that more obvious with string lights or member of staff present. Although basketry was interesting, not something that could be done at home easily without a large tub to pre-soak the willow branches. Bit impractical for most. Mac Rami. I agree. Not really my thing anyway. You would like the glass etching. Very intricate designs and enjoyable to touch trace those raised lines, I would guess, while dusting. Yes, can have them personalised. Mind the spelling is correct, though. These were caught out. despite clearly stating what names were required on the pair of anniversary glasses, the engraver failed to place them in the correct order. Situation resolved with printmaking a new design, but next time we'll choose the customised pottery option, if anything. Dr. Borman right. Yes, Brady, definitely a complaint and should not be in the suggestion box. It is disappointing not to find anything positive so far. Talking of which, you're off where tonight? Upholstery Hotel, to meet the knitting circle. Doesn't that hotel overlook Needle Point? Thought so. It's lovely out there surrounded by all that patchwork of different coloured fields. Loads of beehives in the grounds too, is there? Oh, perhaps you should tell this eco-friendly couple. Wow! Groovy range of products, all shapes, sizes and dyed colours, including sophisticated marbling techniques. Seller was really engaging. Learnt a lot about candle making in our pit stop. We'll use beginner's kit straight away on return home. Made up. Crochet and sky blue. You're right, Brady. If they were that self-sufficient, probably stop by your friend's homemade soaps too. Though, did not leave a sniff of a suggestion in the box. Get it? Sniff, as in pungent scents. Not that there will be any here today, except super pine fresh odours after my thorough cleaning. Okay, enjoy the drive. Ring me again with the latest gossip. Bye for now.
DNF Soundings.
Cheers for those questions. I'll get my mind working on them. Up now, however, is another block of local news.
In a week that has seen the Mayor of Dudley call into a new coffee shop, Heavenly Bakes, at the Red House Cone, Wordsley's Red House Glass Cone has been awarded the 2025 Visit England's Best Told Story accolade, recognising the outstanding quality of its visitor experience and storytelling. This prestigious accolade is awarded annually to participants in the Visit England Visitor Attraction Quality Scheme and celebrates attractions that excel in bringing their stories to life in engaging, memorable and meaningful ways. The Cone's win reflects the dedication of its team to delivering high standards in interpretation, presentation and visitor engagement. Nominations for the accolade are based on a range of feedback, including the annual Visit England Quality Assessment, Assessor Observations, Direct Customer Feedback, and Online Reviews. The Red House Glass Cone stood out for its ability to connect visitors with the rich heritage of glassmaking in Stourbridge through immersive displays and thoughtful interpretation. The Cone was recognised for making the most of every visitor experience and keeping glassmaking history alive. Following the completion of the restoration works in November 2024, the team has continued to make improvements to the Red House site. Staff and volunteers have written and produced a souvenir guidebook, created new interpretation panels, redesigned the Stuart Gallery, staged new glass exhibitions, and hosted former Stuart worker days to gather stories and preserve histories for future generations. Councillor Damien Caulfield, Cabinet Member for Neighbourhoods, said, "This award is a wonderful recognition of the hard work and creativity of the team at the Red House Glass Cone. The team work hard to ensure that every single visitor to the museum has a wonderful and memorable time, so to be recognised for this makes us extremely proud. Their commitment to sharing the story of Stourbridge's glassmaking legacy in such an engaging way continues to inspire visitors from near and far." Visit England Director Andrew Stoke said, "Introduced in 2014, the accolades are available to Visit England's Visitor Attraction Quality Scheme participants across a wide range of tourism experiences in England, from museums and galleries, farm attractions, historic houses and gardens to churches, cathedrals and country parks. Participating attractions are supported by a network of highly trained and experienced assessors who advise them on improving and promoting the quality, accessibility and sustainability of their offer. The Best Told Story accolade is a Visit England Visitor Attraction accolade awarded to attractions that excel at storytelling and provide a compelling narrative to visitors. The accolade reinforces the Cone's reputation as one of the Midlands' leading heritage attractions and a cornerstone of cultural tourism in the region.
And this week has also seen further establishments in the region accoladed, leaving them flushed with success. As J.D. Weatherspoon pubs in the Dudley Borough area have won acclaim in the Loo of the Year Awards 2025 for the quality and standards of their toilets. And just in case you wanted to experience the comforts and joys of a Platinum Plus grading awarded by inspectors, we thought we'd let you know where they are. Winners include the Abraham Derby in the Merrihill Centre, the Clifton in the Bullring Sedgley, and the Waterfront Inn in Level Street, Briley Hill. The awards are aimed at highlighting and improving standards of away-from-home toilet provision across the UK. Loo of the Year Awards inspectors made unannounced visits to thousands of toilets at sites across the UK in order to judge them. All of the toilets are graded bronze, silver, gold, platinum, platinum plus or diamond, with unacceptable ones not graded at all. The toilets are judged against numerous criteria, including decor and maintenance, cleanliness, accessibility, hand washing and drying equipment, and overall management. Manager at the Abraham Derby, Eva Hill, said, "We are delighted with the grading. Staff at the pub ensure the toilets are in excellent condition at all times, and it is great that this has been recognised by the inspectors." The Loo of the Year Awards 2025 Managing Director, Becky Wall, said, "The toilets at the four pubs have been designed and fitted out to a very high standard and are both clean and well maintained. The pubs all deserve their awards."
Up next, let's have another Beacon update.
It's back! The 10th annual Beacon Santa Run, a fun 5K route around West Park in Wolverhampton, this December in our 150th year. Whether you want to walk, run, skip or hop, this event is for everyone. Families, friends and even your four-legged friends. All while supporting people living with sight loss. Register now for the 10th annual Beacon Santa Run on the 7th of December 2025 by calling 01902 880 111 or you can visit our website at www.beaconvision.org.
Next up, we have another block of local news.
Now then, here's something lively and upbeat. It's time for a jive. King Pleasure and the Biscuit Boys, one of the world's greatest jump, jive and swing bands, who started in the Black Country, will celebrate their 40th anniversary in 2026. The Brocking Band launched in a milk bar in Darlaston in 1986 and today still features original members King Pleasure vocals and baritone saxophone and Bull Moose K. Shirley guitar. Jim Simpson of Big Bear Music, who has managed the band from the beginning, explained how his team were now busily planning an exciting year of celebrations. Mr. Simpson said, "What an amazing accomplishment that King Pleasure and the Biscuit Boys will have spent 40 consecutive years on the road. What started at a milk bar in Darlaston quickly grew to be lauded by some as the world's greatest jump, jive and swing band. They're an institution with more than 7,000 performances in 21 countries under their belt. They've opened shows for the likes of B.B. King, Cab Calloway and his orchestra, Ray Charles, and toured with the Real Blues Brothers band, the one from the movie. They've appeared at festivals, in concerts and at clubs throughout the UK, Europe, the Middle East, Russia and the USA. They've recorded 14 albums, 11 with Big Bear Records, plus they've performed for 75 radio broadcasts and more than 70 TV appearances, including, somewhat bizarrely, 5 episodes of Teletubbies. They really are the kings of swing, and 40 years deserves what will be an exciting year of celebrations throughout 2026. King Pleasure and the Biscuit Boys have won many plaudits, but perhaps the most quoted is Paul Jones, original lead singer and harmonicist of rock band Manfred Mann, who described them on his BBC Radio 2 The Blues Show as the hardest act to follow since the parting of the Red Sea. The band will be performing a series of special gigs in 2026, some featuring reunions with original band members. They will also headline the Birmingham Jazz and Blues Festival next summer for what will be the 15th time. They are scheduled to be performing in Germany, Denmark and Italy, and UK gigs are already booked for Lichfield, Didcot, Bury, Hornsey, Sheffield, Eastleigh, Tenbury, London, Newbury and Halifax. Big Bear Music is also now consulting with top Midland venues to secure the best place to arrange the band's main UK celebratory gig. And to mark the 40th anniversary, Big Bear Records is also planning to reissue Blues and Rhythm Volume 1, an album where King Pleasure and the Biscuit Boys perform a dozen songs with star guests. These include Americans Charles Brown, Gene the Mighty Flea Connors, and Howard McCary, as well as Val Wiseman, considered by many to be the UK's finest ever female jazz singer. As well as King Pleasure and Bull Moose Kay Shirley, the band's lineup today includes Boise Bertram, alto and tenor saxophones, Mighty Matt Foundling, piano and organ, Shark Van Stoop, double bass, and Gary the Enforcer, Barber, drums. To find out more, including details of previous band members, head to kingpleasure.co.uk.
From the jive of the Biscuit Boys, we crank it up a notch to punk legend Johnny Rotten and some Boston black country fiddle, as punk icon and Sex Pistols legend John Lydon, better known as Johnny Rotten, was spotted tucking into a bag of Major's iconic orange chips following his sold-out gig at Bilston's Robin 2. Major's Fish and Chips on Church Street, Bilston, has gained its latest celebrity fan, one whose hair may be as orange as the chips themselves. The London-born singer, songwriter and author reportedly sent out for a bag of chips after being told that they were the best in the world by Robin 2 venue boss Fraser Turner. Talking about the chips, Mr. Lydon said, "The chips are the same colour as my jumper, orange. I've never seen anything like them. They're delicious. I didn't think it was possible to make fish and chips even more unhealthy, but Bilston has found a way." Lydon visited Wolverhampton as part of his I Could Be Wrong, I Could Be Right UK tour, where he discusses his life view as well as his unique and extraordinary career. Bilston 2 boss Fraser Turner said, "We are delighted to welcome a true punk legend to the Robin, and I suggested a local delicacy when he asked whether there was any good restaurants or takeaways in town." While he didn't mention whether he would be returning to the iconic chippy, the punk legend described the iconic orange chips as some of the best I've ever eaten. Lydon will be back in Wolverhampton on December 29th when his band Public Image Limited will headline the Wolfram Hall in a special show that will feature local hero Miles Hunt from Wonderstuff.
Next, let's have another Beacon update.
Beacon are working with the NHS to improve its app and support you to use it. Your voice matters. Beacon is helping to shape the new NHS app, and we need your help and feedback. We all know how tricky it can be managing health appointments, prescriptions, or getting through to your GP. Sometimes it feels like a bit of a hassle, waiting on the phone or making extra trips to the surgery. The NHS app makes things easier. It's a secure, official way to manage many of your healthcare services all in one place, right from your phone, tablet, or computer. At Beacon, we're proud to be NHS ambassadors. We can help you set up the app, show you how to use it, and make sure you get the most out of it. If you'd like to know more or need support getting started, get in touch with Beacon today. Together, we're helping make healthcare simpler and more accessible for everyone. Please call Beacon at 01902 880 111 and ask for Andy. Thank you.
Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, it's Mina here with your forecast for the week ahead. After a week of wet and windy weather, things are set to remain very much the same. Unfortunately, it shall become noticeably colder too over the next few days, with temperatures dropping significantly at times. The low UV levels shall remain with sunrise and sunset times as follows: 7:45 a.m. for the sunrise and 4 p.m. for the sunset. As for the weather, Friday 21st of November is predictably wet and windy, with plenty of rain expected throughout the day. However, with a moderate breeze from the west, there will definitely be a wintry bite in the air, with expected temperatures of 5 degrees, feeling more like 2 degrees. Moving into the weekend, and the rain showers will remain persistent over both Saturday 22nd and Sunday 23rd of November. The wind shall also remain and likely to settle down to something a little gentle. Temperatures will reflect this, with top temperatures of 9 degrees expected. Moving into next week, and the pattern of wet and windy weather shall continue to hang over the region, with light rain showers expected from Monday 24th through to Thursday 27th of November, with a breeze continuing to drift in from the west and northwest. Temperatures will continue to struggle at around 7 to 8 degrees. So it does look like the cold November spells are beginning to bite. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and enjoy the weather.
Up now, we have a special edition of this week's sports feature.
There may have been no domestic football due to the international break this week, but there was still plenty of activity within the realms of the sporting circles of the Black Country. Starting with three sporting heroes who represented Wolverhampton on the international stage that were honoured by the city last weekend. Steve Bull of Wolverhampton Wanderers fame was inducted into Wolverhampton's Sporting Hall of Fame, whilst Greg Sylvester and Gary Haynes joined the Olympian Way at WV Active Aldersley. Two organisations, Woodfield Sports and Social Club and Penn Bowling Club, also joined Bully in the Hall of Fame as they were recognised for celebrating their centenary. Gary from Wensfield was a former powerlifter who turned his attentions to football and represented England in the European Football Championships for people with learning difficulties. Greg has spent more than 30 years representing and volunteering for Special Olympics GB. Both he and Gary are already in the Hall of Fame and joined the Olympian Way at WV Active Aldersley in a ceremony last Saturday morning on November 15th. The Wolverhampton Sports Advisory Council launched the Sporting Hall of Fame in 1999 to recognise and celebrate the achievements of sportsmen, sportswomen and sporting clubs who have represented the city. Chairman of the Wolverhampton Sports Advisory Council, Peter Holmes MBE, said, "Wolverhampton has a very great sporting history, and the foundations of this history are the clubs and the individuals themselves. We are delighted to welcome more of them to the city's Sporting Hall of Fame this weekend." Councillor Abida Ahmed, Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Health, Wellbeing and Community, said, "Wolverhampton has produced competitors of national and international standard in a wide variety of sports, and the Sports Advisory Council has already recognised dozens of them by inducting them into the Sporting Hall of Fame since 1999. It's wonderful news that Woodfield Sports and Social Club, Penn Bowling Club, Steve Bull, Greg Sylvester and Gary Haynes will shortly be joining the illustrious list of people and sporting and educational organisations whose achievements have been celebrated in this way. The ceremony took place at WV Active Aldersley on Saturday, where the Sporting Hall of Fame book and wall plaques are displayed.
And last weekend also saw the culmination of the Professional Darts Corporation's PDC annual Grand Slam of Darts tournament at WV Active Aldersley, which saw teenage sensation Luke Littler celebrate becoming the world number one for the first time by beating Luke Humphreys, the man he has surpassed, to win the Grand Slam of Darts with a 16-11 victory in Wolverhampton. The players were in town to ensure their arrows were on target, but in between sessions at the tournament, the professional players managed to take time with local schoolchildren through an initiative called Bullseye, designed to teach the youngsters maths whilst also inspiring them to take up the sport. In the sessions, children were able to play darts while calculating their scores. I think it's very helpful for a kid at a young age to learn how to do maths because some people struggle with it, but I think this is the quickest way to learn, says world number 10 Josh Rock, who helped teach on his day off. Chantelle, a pupil at SS Peter and Paul Catholic Primary, said she found her session really fun. We learnt how to do multiplication and adding and subtracting the scores of the dartboards, and it helped us know more about what a dart actually is, she said. Meanwhile, Bullseye maths teacher Gary Horsley explained why the sessions are so important. They can play with numbers, they can enjoy numbers. It doesn't matter if they make a mistake, we can work around it. It's just building that confidence, he said. It's been fantastic. We do lots of maths. We create magic, really.
Up next, let's have another block of local news.
Now then, when did you last see or hear the rummaging, rustling and snuffling of a hedgehog amongst the fallen autumn leaves? A dramatic decrease in their numbers means there are now believed to be less than a million across the UK, compared to the 30 million that roamed in the 1950s. A recent survey revealed nearly half of us haven't spotted a hedgehog in the wild in the last 5 years. However, a Staffordshire wildlife stalwart has been awarded a British Empire Medal, BEM, for her decades of work in rescuing and caring for our spiky friends. Joan Lockley received her medal in a ceremony at Birmingham Council House in recognition of her 25 years caring for hedgehogs at her home in Cheslin Hay, during which she has always preached the same advice to anyone who may come across one of the creatures in the daytime that is in trouble. This year alone, she has taken in just 800 hedgehogs at her Staffordshire home and headquarters of the West Midlands Hedgehog Rescue, feeding and nursing them until they are fit to be released. News of her award came last December. Joan, a sprightly 82, also hosts an open day every year, working tirelessly to put on a fundraiser where the community can enjoy live music, stalls, food and games, and has raised thousands of pounds to help with her work. Just this week, in the stormy weather on Friday, November the 14th, she took in two hedgehogs, and her telephone is always on for people who need help or advice if they see one. She said, "There are very few, if any, dedicated hedgehog sanctuaries left, at least in the West Midlands. And I say the same to everyone who telephones me or sees one at the side of the road. If it is out during the day, it is in trouble. I never turn a hedgehog away. Up to 900 a year come through my doors or garden, and I get calls at all times of the day and night. But I always say the same thing, don't take it in yourself. Bring it to me, as I have the facility here and the knowledge after 25 years to look after them. It really is a labour of love." Joan said she didn't seek recognition, but it was nice to receive the BEM. She said, "When the envelope came, I thought, what have I done wrong? But it was such an honour and a nice day out when I received the medal." On her future plans, she said, "It's too late to retire, although people ask me about it. I have dedicated a quarter of a century to it and accumulated all that knowledge and experience, so I'm not going to stop now." Read more about the West Midlands Hedgehog Rescue and get advice on helping hogs at wmhr.org.uk.
From Sonic to Sebastian and Spiny Norman to Mr. Pricklepants, there have been many cult classic hedgehogs you know from movies, television, video games and more. And for more than half a century, one small corner of Blackheath has been home to a family business that generations of locals still remember with fondness. What began as Carter's Electronic in 1971, a shop famous for toys, televisions and even the occasional elephant, is today home to Magic Moments, a party and balloon shop run by Gordon Carter's grandson, Ben Wade. And although the business is different, the heart behind it remains the same. Ben, who opened Magic Moments in October 2022, said he feels proud to carry on something my granddad started all those years ago. People come in and tell me stories about Carter's Electronic, what they bought, what they remember, how it was the place everyone used to visit, he said. It means a lot knowing I'm keeping that family connection alive, even if the shop is only half the size it used to be. Carter's Electronic was a staple of Blackheath life. On its opening day in 1971, crowds gathered to see a baby elephant from Dudley Zoo draped in a blanket reading Carter's Electronics. Coronation Street star Peter Adamson, who played Len Fairclough, also made an appearance. The shop sold Lego, fountain pens, Airfix models, toys, and even ran a booming television hire service with more than 2,000 sets rented out at its peak. Competitions drew in families hoping to win collectible items such as Barbie dolls. But Carter's didn't appear overnight. Its founder, Gordon Carter, had built his career from the ground up. After discovering a love for radio at Hales Owen Technical College and inspired by his brother Norman, a World War II wireless operator, Gordon trained as a television engineer. He later served in the RAF as a ground radio specialist before returning to Blackheath to open his own repair business from his home. The company grew rapidly, expanding to several shops and eventually forming the beloved Carter's Electronics brand. Now, 50 years later, Ben hopes locals will feel encouraged to continue supporting the family legacy. "This space has always been part of our family," he said. "I think people will love knowing that the history hasn't disappeared. It's just taken on a new life." Now, from hedgehogs and baby elephants to our puppy apprentice Buster. Last month, with thanks to Guide Dogs and St Albans and District Talking News, we introduced a monthly series following Charlotte the Trainer as she begins the journey with her latest puppy recruit, Buster. In episode 1, we met Buster the Trainee Guide Dog and found out how getting used to cats and curbing food scavenging habits were some of the first challenges to overcome. This time, Buster is getting out and about on training walks and bus trips, wearing his new harness. But he needs to learn not to be distracted by public attention. Introducing Puppy Academy, Episode 2. Buster, the trainee guide dog, starts to wear his harness.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Charlotte from Guide Dogs, back for another update on Buster's training. This has been a busy month for Buster and he's been making some really excellent progress. I've introduced the guiding harness and he's taken to this really well. The harnesses are made of leather and are quite heavy compared with anything he will have worn before, so they can take some getting used to. Buster took it in his stride though and will put his head in by himself when I ask him for a head in. He walks at a nice moderate pace and pulls through the harness with a medium amount of tension. Usually when dogs come into training they want to do everything at top speed and need calming down, but Buster is very relaxed during his harness walks. While this is great at the moment, it does make me wonder how motivated he will be as the training gets more demanding and our routes get longer and more varied. Some of our dogs are very self-motivated and will walk anywhere for the pleasure of being out and about. However, Buster likes to have an element of the walk that is for him. He particularly likes destinations like cafes and libraries, somewhere that he can have a sit down and bask in the attention that he so often receives. At the moment, we are working mostly in busier town environments like St Albans. This is a great environment for training as it's so varied with busy areas, quiet side streets, shops and some heavier traffic. There is also the added benefit of being a dog-heavy environment as Buster is a little underconfident around other dogs and needs lots of exposure to as many different breeds as possible at the moment. This month we have also covered bus travel, which Buster is enjoying. He hasn't quite mastered tucking himself in under the seats yet and does like to sprawl out right in the way of other passengers to attract maximum attention, so this is something we will be working on in the coming weeks. Buster is not overly distracted by anything on his walks, which is fantastic considering he hasn't been in training for long. He will have a cheeky sniff if we're passing a hedge or a lamppost, but this doesn't interfere with his work. He will have a look at cats and birds, but again, it's easy to regain his attention. Buster's biggest distraction at the moment is people, especially if they pay attention to him. Buster is a very cute dog and has puppy-like features, which does make him a bit of a celebrity. I've been working on refocusing him after he is distracted by a member of the public, which has been going well. We all know that guide dogs shouldn't be distracted at work, but you can never account for the actions of strangers, so I always like to focus on training my dogs to be relaxed and placid if someone does try to distract him. Since the sock-eating incident, Buster has been on his best behaviour, but I am still strengthening his response to drop and rewarding him for ignoring trigger items like tissues when we're out and about. Based on his progress this month, I am quite confident that Buster is growing out of this behaviour. Since Buster has come into training, he has had several incidents of stopping on walks. This usually happens when we are leaving somewhere like a cafe or a free run that he's really enjoyed. Each time I've waited it out and he's decided to carry on by himself, but this is certainly a behaviour to monitor with a dog like Buster who can be quite motivated by his own agenda. In the next month, I'm aiming to gradually increase Buster's stamina for harness work. We will cover trains and possibly overground if this goes well. I will also be taking him to indoor shopping centres to teach him how to safely navigate in open spaces and non-pavement conditions. Overall, Buster is right on track and I'm really pleased with his progress. I'll be back in a month's time for another update.
TNF Soundings.
Now, here come the quiz
answers.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Did you recognise the craft mentioned? Total count was 19. The crafts named in this craft fair brain teaser covered a variety of hobbies and cottage industries. Here is the full list of answers read out in the order they were originally spoken. Weaving, felt working, beading, bobbin lace, decoupage, jewellery, wood carving, basketry, macrame, glass etching, printmaking, pottery, upholstery, knitting, needlepoint, patchwork, candle making, crochet, homemade soaps. If you did catch all 19 of them, well done. And if you missed a few, hope you still enjoyed the challenge.
TNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who, without their support, we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!